How many of you glad to know that we have the ability, in the midst of difficult situations, to know that God is right there in the center of it? And somehow or another, beyond our understanding, we're going to get through. Well, there'll be a few storms this week. School starts. That's always a storm, isn't it? First day of school, it's one of my... I have two favorite days of school. I remember back in school time, first was the first day. Because they were too busy getting everything organized to do anything. And then the last day, because they were all so worn out, they said, just get out of here. Those were my two favorite days of school. But I want you, if you're a teacher or if you're involved in education in any way, that means a student, a parent of a student, you keep the school facilities up, you're employed by the school system. If you're involved in the educational process in any way, that means a parent. I hope parents would stand up being involved in the educational process. By the way, I'm going to talk about that. That's one of the problems with education in America today. The parents think the school is Walmart. And you just drop them off and they somehow miraculously recreate your child. The school will not correct what you've messed up. And so we got to work this thing together. Yeah? If you're involved in education in any way, would you please stand up? Earl, you've been involved a long time. You get grandfathered in. Go ahead and stand up, Dr. Earl. You've been there all your life. Look at this. Amen. Now, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for y'all because guess what? Now, watch this. Students, why are you not standing up? Students, that means, let me help y'all. I'm going to educate y'all. Students, parents. Watch this. Grandparents. If you're a grandparent of a student, an uncle or an aunt of a student. Oh, you've driven by a school in the last month. You're a taxpayer. All right. You had children that went to school at one time in your life. If you went to school, stand up. All right, you ready? I want us to pray. I don't know why some of y'all are sitting down. What, did you never go to school? Teachers, workers of the school system, administrators, bus drivers, all kinds of folks make this thing happen. Taxpayers. Also want to honor the taxpayers. None of this happens if we don't have taxpayers. If we don't have taxpayers, we don't have schools. Kind of remember that the next time you get a little wheezy on a school tax. A school tax goes to make sure that one day you might have Social Security. See, this thing all works together, and the reason I'm being very basic today is because most Americans, and especially most Americans who are evangelical Christians, are so individualistic they can no longer see community function. And in my opinion, an individualistic philosophy totally contradicts the community experience of the New Testament. And so trying to do good things, we become very anti-New Testament. And so I really want us to hear what God has to say to us today. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for our school systems, all of them, whether private or public, people that teach children. And today, Lord, I would just pray that in this moment we might get an urge. Or, Lord, to quote the old evangelist, an unction. To once again engage with our children in such a way that we don't just send them to school and hope that they get it. But, Lord, we would send them to school on a mission to become better people, to achieve, to go beyond where we presently are, to discover what has not been discovered, and to remember where we've been. So, Lord, in this school year, I pray some things. First of all, I pray that our teachers keep a passion for what you've called them to do. Secondly, Lord, I pray that we as parents would keep a passion to work with those teachers and honor their authority in that classroom. And the third thing, Lord, I would pray that we would be open, Lord, to doing the extra things as a church that would enhance our students to discover that Jesus Christ is at the center of everything we're about. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Look, here's what I want to tell you. All of us are involved in education in some way or another, whether we like it or not. Whether we like it or not, we're involved in education. And I think that we, as people who follow Jesus Christ, have a responsibility to support our teachers. And so I want you to, if you take notes, some of you take notes. That's the way you learn. That's cool. I want you to write this down. I need to be praying for my school and my school teachers every day. Every one of us need to do that. We can do that. We got to get up in the morning. And if you're coming down 231, if you're on Scottsville Road anywhere, when Greenwood High School opens up again, you're going to be stopped for 20 minutes. That's a good place to have 20 minutes worth of prayer. Don't close your eyes. But pray, God bless all of our schools. All of our schools need the blessing of God. Public or private. I'm not going to get in that issue today. Education is education. Okay, you all know I'm a high proponent of public education for this reason. That doesn't mean I don't like private education, but I love the public. And you need to know your pastor's heart. My heart is for people that do not know Jesus Christ. There's got to be some of us Christians who don't run and hide. I am one of them that does not run and hide. I am not scared of public schools. I am not scared of my children being tainted by the evil wolf of the public school, because the public school is not evil. And Christians that tell you that the public school is evil is their lack of education and their lack of knowledge and their lack of ever reading the Bible. How do you deal with Daniel? God created Daniel. God allowed Israel to be taken captive. God allowed Israel to be taken captive by a pagan king named Nebuchadnezzar. He was evil as hell itself. You know what? God didn't tell Daniel to run. God told Daniel to stand up higher than what he was among. And we haven't done that yet as the church. Not only have we not stood up, we tucked tail and run. We've run. You know why? We have, first of all, a lack of understanding of our God. God is over everything. Not a few things, over everything. How many of y'all believe that? God was at the bar last night. What do you think about that? He got there before the clients arrived. And his hope was some would get better. God was at the church this morning long before any. God was even here before Rodney. God was here. God is the greatest of all things. Now I want you to go with me. The Lord's given me a different message than it's in the bulletin. They go to Psalms 25. When the Lord does that, you know, bulletins don't mean much to me. Psalm 25. Psalm 25. Y'all hearing this today? How many of y'all got a God that's great enough to make sure children get better? How many of y'all want your children to get better? How many of y'all going to help these teachers this year? You need to help them. You need to pray for them, and then you need to help them. How many of y'all would like to have 35 kids stare at you for 8 hours? Some of them are really good kids, and some of them are like your pastor. I love walking through the preschool rooms. I don't get to do that anymore. I'm not permitted to walk through there as the pastor for this reason. For some reason, every rowdy 3-year-old male child they have there automatically comes running out to me. I am their mentor. They sense it. They want to know what else they can learn to do, and I would still be available to teach them. Have you thought about this? You know, we all got different personalities. We all got different philosophies, but we have the same vision. And I want to give you 3 things education does. It's very important. And I want you to show you it's at the heart of God. Watch this. How many places in Scripture does God say, teach them, show them, expose them, reveal to them, gain understanding? Reverend Gary, I don't know what Christian created stupid and faithful as a synonym. Used to, I was warned. I mean, when I was preaching, man, they warned me. They said, now, Brother Steve, don't you go up there at seminary and get educated. It'll take your anointing away. And I said, so you've read somewhere in the Scripture that God honors dumb people more than He does informed people. Being stupid is not being faithful. It's just being stupid. And if you notice in Christianity in America, we've had a lot of stupid. A lot of stupid. A lot of people have stood up stupid in the name of Jesus. By the way, that's why you haven't seen the issues prosper from stupid. Yeah. This is stupid. To think you're the only one on the planet. To think you are it and there's nobody else around you. That's really uninformed. That's anti-Bible. That's a total misunderstanding of God Himself. God always dealt with people. Or the peoples. Plural. Nations. Plural. God's concerned about what happens. Go with me to the 25th Psalm. I want you to see that the heart of David. You know what? You know what God cries out to David, and guess what he says? To you, O God, I lift my soul. In you I trust. O my God, do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. Now let's hear that today. How many of y'all trust in God? Public school teachers, listen, I want you to hear from this pastor. Thank you. Stay in the battle. Stay on. And you talk Jesus in that public classroom. They ask you, well, Dale's going, oh gosh, you're going to get it. Dale, if they get you sued, we'll cover the legal fees. I'd love to be in that battle. It's been a dream of mine to go to Supreme Court on a First Amendment issue. I'm going to declare freedom and rights for Christians again. Yeah. What do you think about that? There's only one reason God hadn't been spoken much in our public schools in the last 20 years, because you shut up. Lord, they can't fire all of us. Make a stand. Don't be bullied around. I've been in public schools all my life, and guess what? God has been honored. God has been talked about. We prayed over lunches. Intensely. Well, now they got good lunches. I walk into a cafeteria. I don't know what has happened to the school system. Dale, I mean, you good, brother. They got salad bars and hamburger bars, and they got, you know, gourmet food over here. Ice cream. They have ice cream now. You know what we got? Pizza and corn. Who thought of that? It was brain food. You remember them square pizzas? You know what I'm talking about, Jack? They have those in Texas. Pizza with corn. When have you ever sat down at home and your mama gone, what are you having tonight? Pizza and corn. Never. But at school you had pizza and corn. Tater tots. That's why they still sell at Sonic from that old generation. They gave us tater tots. We didn't have french fries. Tater tots. Now at school they have a mass selection with Nintendo Interactive Lunch going on at the same time. Things have changed. They actually air condition the lunchroom now. So you don't have to, like, perspire and eat. Isn't it amazing? Somebody kept things progressing. Look what he says. Oh, Lord, I will trust in you. Now, do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. How many of you all realize this? If you'll stand in God, you will survive. Now, notice how I said that. I didn't say every day was going to be pleasant. I didn't say there wasn't going to be days with difficulty. I didn't say there wouldn't be days it would be in a storm and you'd be in the upheaval of life. But guess what? Here's what it says. You will survive. You will go through. You will triumph. Your enemies will not take you over. But there will be difficulties. Is that honest enough? I don't know who. It's Mary Poppins, not Jesus Christ, said, if you will follow Him, everything's going to be smooth. Jesus never said everything was going to be smooth. He said everything's going to be possible. Why do we as a people want it better than Jesus had it? I mean, just imagine some of the prayers Jesus hears. Lord, they're picking on me. Somebody said something bad to me. Somebody violated one of my rights. Somebody's not honoring me. Guess what Jesus answered back? Yeah, I know all about it. I did nothing wrong and they crucified me. How would you like that? And if you'll go over there and look in that mirror, you've done some things to bring a few of these things on yourself. Because we always like to quote that, don't we, when we get in trouble? The Lord said He never put on me more than I could what? He didn't say we couldn't put on ourselves more than we could stand. He said He'd never do it. He allows you to still have some choice in the matter. So So I'm asking you today to remember. First thing education does is helps us remember. Write it down, remember. Why do I need to go to school? I got to remember. I got to remember who created, who did it, who went on before me. Write this down. When you're sitting in history class, how many of y'all have ever sat in history class and go, why do I need to know this? Because you didn't know where you came from. You need to know that you didn't build it, but you're building on what somebody else built. See, we've forgotten that. There's some ancient people here. Ancient people among you. You young people, you live among the dinosaurs. Your parents and grandparents never spoke on a cell phone during high school. They're very primitive. They never knew what Nintendo was. You think about that, Eric? Huh? Now, those are younger dinosaurs. How many of you all come from the Pong generation? Atari generation? Look at them. You see what's happening to them? Many of them are without hair now. They see, this Pong caused a great effect. Although I notice that you all are wearing clothes like we used to wear. Polyester's back. You would have never thought it in the 80s. In fact, Blake came in wearing a pair of plaid shorts the other day. I was pretty fired up about that because I had a whole drawer full of those that I had saved. However, I've learned, I've been educated that mine are just a little too short. In fact, Miami Vice, a couple Friday nights came on the preview, you know, the old Miami Vice. And as soon as the beach scene came on, I called Blake in the living room. I said, hey, come here. Look at those shorts. I told you they were cool back then. Remember? Huh? He said, no more. Also, Steve, I noticed that those pants, when you store them over 15 years, they shrink. The pants shrink. How many of y'all have that problem? Your old pants are shrinking. Somebody needs to develop a cotton that doesn't shrink. These shrink. Over 10 years, they'll shrink. You can't wear. And I know it's not me. It's got to be the cotton, the fabric. They've shrunk. Anyway, they won't even fit Blake. It's bad. He said he wouldn't wear them anyway. He said they were obscene. See, things change. You got to remember where you came from. Write that down. Why do we go to school? To remember what's been done, to remember what has happened, and to know where we came from. It's important to know where you came from. Guess what? You and I come from God. You need to be educated in that. You need to know why God did what He did so you can know what God's going to do right now. You got to remember. Second thing you got to learn to do is watch, understand. The next part of this psalm says this. Look at here. You ready? He says, Lord, show me your ways. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Show me understanding. Why in the world do we need to be educated? We need to understand. How many of y'all are glad somebody went to school to understand the human body? Yep. I'm glad to know that somebody knows how to work with my brain. I'm glad to know that somebody knows how my joints are put together. I'm glad to know that somebody knows how to chase down a disease. I'm glad somebody researches and keeps on going so that we get better. Yeah? Wow. Did you hear the testimony of Chad this morning when he talked about his wife getting breast cancer? And he was able to raise his hand and he says, man, this is a miracle. My wife was taken care of. I entered the ministry some 25 years ago when we heard that news. That used to be over with news. 25 years later, we're talking about hope with that diagnosis. 25 years ago, everybody's head went down and we went, oh no. What caused that to happen? All y'all that want to bash the public school, what caused that to happen? See, some of those doctors and those researchers that discovered how to work with those cancer cells, if there had only been a private school, they'd have never been able to research those cells because they came from nothing with a brilliant mind. And they'd have never had the parents and the affluence enough to get them to that little private segment of the world where only a few can live. But they went to a public school on a free lunch. And somebody grabbed a hold of them and gave them a little hope. And they began to understand because they had a desire. Oh, Lord, show me your ways. Do I have to stay where I am? No, but they were on a free lunch. They were coming from nothing. And there was a school that gave them an opportunity to learn something. And they absorbed it. And all of a sudden, there was somebody that came from nothing that had a brilliant mind that got developed to such a point that that brilliant mind began to medically change things in the world. That's the hope of education. Don't ever lose that hope, because that's the rhythm of the ways of God. How many of y'all glad to know that God always teaches us that He can take nothing and make something? Huh? Is anybody? Let me tell you what. If you want to understand Hillview Heights Church, we still believe that God can take nothing and create something great. I'll die on that cross. Huh? I'll die on that one. So I want you to hear the heart of education, because some of y'all ask me all the time, Ayers, why are you so into education? Because it's the only hope for people that have nothing to go be something. And I ain't going to lose that. Excuse me. I will not lose that. It's educational Sunday. I need to act like I got one. But you know what I'm talking about? Huh? How many of you all, that's your life story. How many of you all, education made a difference in your life when you begin to gain understanding? Hmm? Yeah. Now for me, I was privileged. I grew up very privileged. Here's how I grew up privileged. My parents demanded an education in my life. I didn't know you couldn't go to college. My mom and dad didn't look at me at the end of my high school and go, are you going to college or not going to college? That was never a question in our house. The question was, where are you going? Now, after my first semester of college, it was, you will go back again, and this time you're going to read a book. But you know what? My dad and I fought forever over education. Eventually, he won. Because guess what? He was smarter than me. Now, I remember I'd protest. I'd walk in. I said, Dad, I know how to hang steel, man. I'm learning how to weld. I came in and I said, I'm going to tell you one thing. I make more than any of those professors make right now. He said, go hang that steel this summer. I got up at like 3 o'clock in the morning, and we came home at 7 o'clock in the evening, and my back hurt, and my elbows hurt, and my head hurt. And I want to tell you, next semester, I did a lot better on those grades. Because you know what? That summer I got an education that led me to another education. Guess what I learned? To work smart. Yeah. And then guess what else I learned? I wasn't smart as I thought I was. How many of y'all have learned that yet? I mean, I'm not going to point out which one of you have not, but how many of y'all have just learned, I don't know it all? Man, that's a great thing. You want to get freedom in life, start. I don't know everything, and I need to get with others so I'll know more than I used to know. Okay? You gain understanding. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your why. Paths. You ready? Why? Third thing that education does, and we need to honor these teachers. It achieves us. It allows us to achieve beyond where we've been. It creates dreams. So teachers, don't you ever let anybody look down, and I want you to hear how I say this, on this God-called profession. In an ancient society, you would be rabbis, teachers, rabboni, teachers. And our job is to make sure that children like Sean remember what has been, understand what is, and to dream to achieve what has yet to be discovered. Now, some of you may say, well, Ayers, you're just an old Enlightenment philosopher thinking that through education and knowledge we're going to make the world better. No, I'm not. I have a little of that in me, obviously. But I do believe that when we first, say it with me, first, surrender to Jesus and come together and remember what God has done, understand how God can use us, we will achieve beyond where we have been. You say, well, how do you know? Look at the 25th Psalm. David says, please, Lord, my hope is in you. My trust is you, in you. I will not be put to shame by my enemy. Isn't that neat? And so I just wanted you to remember that today. Tuesday and Wednesday is going to be crazy days this week. There are going to be school buses out for the first time. You know, Walmart, Target, Dollar General Store, school supplies. Hillview Heights Church yesterday morning, they've all been invaded. We're ready to go for another year's school. Students, I know it ain't cool to actually be into school, but go ahead and learn stuff now. By the way, students, let me give you a head up. If you learn to read before you go to college, it's easier. These are just some things I've learned. Ms. Goff will be proud of this. I have learned in high school that majoring in PE only makes it a little bit difficult when you go to college. Ms. Goff pulled up my schedule, and I want you to know that I was always an innovative person, though. They didn't have advanced four PE until I went to Warren Central. I took 4 years of PE. Now that's helped me run from my wife, which has benefited me in life. Here's what I have found. There is nothing in education that's ever wasted. I'm going to show you. When I left high school and was entering into college, I wanted to be a special education teacher and a football coach. For 3.5 years, I was in special ed classes, learning how to teach special ed. I'd made a bargain with God. I said, all right, God, I'll preach. I had no problem with preaching. Preaching was fun. I did not want to be a pastor. I was fine about talking about Jesus. I just didn't want to be in the church. In fact, when Jesus called me to preach, I said, Jesus, we got a problem. You I love. The church I would prefer to not be without. And eventually Jesus had said, well, I kind of love them, and if you're going to preach with me. And eventually I grew up. I gained what? Understanding, remembered who God was, and began to achieve beyond where I was. That's the educational process. But anyway, guess what? None of those classes were wasted when my major had to change. I laugh at this church. We have a PALS ministry that ministers to kids with special needs. I understand them because God took me through 3.5 years of how to teach in that arena and then made me a pastor. I love the game of football. I love coaching. 20-something years later, God let me have that opportunity again. You see how God works? So I just want to tell you this, because I know some of you students are going to watch this. I mean, I sat there at Western. Why do I need to take astronomy? Did y'all ever? I slept up there during when they put the stars up in that thing. What's that called? Planetarium. A planetarium. Huh? Planetarium. I said it right. Elizabeth up here correcting stuff. She needs to remember. Look at here. Yeah, the planetarium. How many of y'all went to the planetarium? You had to take that class. I said, why do I got to know the Big Dipper? I figured it out. When you're at parties and somebody mentions the Big Dipper, you need to know kind of where it's located. Because educated people, you know, real sophisticated people walk in and go, oh, I see the Northern Lights. You know, if you don't have any education, you go, they're down there on Scottsville Road, aren't they? Up there around Smith's Grove, some Northern Lights. So you got to have a little bit of, oh, me too, I see the Northern Light. Everything will be used in education, yeah? So I want us to grab the last part of this psalm, and I want you to remember this. God's always called his people to learn. Teach me. Teach me. Show me your ways. Teach me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, O Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from old. Remember not the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you are good, O Lord. Education. Let's make it better. I'm going to tell you, we're not where we need to be in education. Are you all aware of that in this nation? Here's the problem. It's not the school system. It's not the teachers. Who do you think it is? It's those who are raising children. What would you call them? Parents. Parents, if your child is not functional, that's not the teacher's fault. That's your fault. It's time to put the blame where it nearly needs to be. The parents. Yeah. If your child has an attention deficit, who is personally responsible for giving the child attention? Come on. If you got kids, listen. If you made them, you raise them. You got it? So for some of you yuppies, that means this. You're not going to get to have caviar weekends anymore. You're going to change diapers. Why? You made them. Don't be hauling them off to the nanny and the babysitter and the grandparents. Don't take them to the grandparents all the time. They've already done you. They don't want to do another one. Now, they like to visit with them. And then they like to give them back. Have you noticed that? That's why grandparents are happier than parents. True? Because grandparents get to enjoy the achievement moments. And they get to celebrate all the good things. And that's why grandparents are always, always nicer than your parents. And that's why you're always nicer to your grandparents, because you know you can con them. Because you don't live with them. You know. Like Blake, he always cons my father. You know. See, I have to live with him. I'm his daddy, not his granddaddy. I see him on Monday night when he goes, Do you know what? My dad just grins because on Monday night he heard, How many of y'all knows we pass things down? Remember, understand, achieve. Yeah? What's the thing that drives this? We must love God. Parents, I want to encourage you. Get in there and get with your teachers and support them. I have never seen a teacher avoid a positive parent. Don't go in and say, how are you going to fix my child? Go in and say, how can we work together with our child? Yeah, and not every child's going to make A's. Y'all got that? So some of you perfectionists, quit spazzing out. Most A people work for C people anyway. It's the way it works out. Yeah. You know, you got the real brainiacs. They're running the research part. But you got the guy that knew how to navigate the school and the guy that knew how to interact with people. They're called the CEO. That's the truth. It takes all of us and all of our differences to make it all happen. Yeah? Yeah? And then you got a lot of surprises. How many of y'all have ever walked in a hospital and the biggest goof off in your class is now the one that's going to operate on you? It's surprising for a lot of people that I went to school with the first time they visit Hillview. And they don't know who the pastor is. And they'll go, that's oh my God. You see, it's a religious experience right off the bat. God can do great things, yeah? I called an old buddy of mine. We played football in college together. We were on a search, and he's a coach. And the first thing I did is I said, hey, man, how you doing? He said, Harris, I've heard about you. I got one question. He said, how did you become a preacher? I said, well, it's really totally an act of God. He said, well, it's got to be. You see? We never know how people are going to turn out, yeah? I promise you this. Nobody voted me at First Baptist Church to be the preacher boy out of my generation. They had a well-behaved, polite kid that they always talked about would be a great preacher. He's in jail. See, because he was repressed all those years. I never was repressed. I let all mine out along the way. Should have been in jail a couple times. It just didn't catch me. Huh? I just let it out along the way. You never know what somebody's going to be. That's what I'm trying to tell you. So teachers, when you're dealing with that kid that you just can't get it through, hold on. Don't stop. You may be dealing with the president of this nation one day. Don't give up. I've found this in my little short years here on the earth. Those who are usually rebellious think more than those who are cooperative. I love reading biographies. And if you read the biographies of people that have achieved great things, they were never normal. Never. Einstein. He was a freak. Nuts. But contributed. So when you look at some of these people and you go, they are really nutty. They may be the people that save your life. And by the way, just for all you jock type people, you better be nice to those that you call nerds. They run the world. You run the high school, they run the world. When you go get a loan, most of the time it's not a jock that's giving you that loan. This can happen too. When you go to the bank and they go, "You're the one that put me in the locker my freshman year. Loan. Void." So be careful. Learn to get along now. Learn to remember where you came from. Learn to understand what's going on. And I pray to God that this will happen this year, that you will want to achieve beyond where we are. Yeah? All right. I'm done. Even on time. Because it's Education Sunday. And it's Promotion Sunday. Got one more minute. You ready? I'm also going to encourage you to this. The same educational system works in learning about Jesus. Right here at church. Parents, get your children to Bible study. All right? Sunday, Wednesday night, there's all kinds of things. Youth ministry, watch this. Here's been my prayer lately. I wish parents were as concerned about their development spiritually of their children as they were tournament teams. It amazes me. I mean, it just, and there's nothing wrong with it. I'm just telling you, I'm freaked out that people will pay hundreds of dollars for 5-year-old softball. I will tell you this, if you just take all that money you spend on those tournament teams, you put it in the money markets, you spend it for 15 years, you'll have their college tuition. A lot of people have paid for the scholarship their kid would get 4 times the amount of all the training and stuff before they ever get there. Let them have fun, yeah? But watch, why are we so concerned about our children in one area and so under-concerned in other areas? Here's what they get. They get a plastic trophy at the end. That's it. Huh? And you can say, "My child won the 5-year-old championship." There are no pro scouts at 5-year-old championships. It's kind of like junior high ball. Everybody tells me about the great stars in junior high. You see very few of them on the varsity field. Because it's not about fame for a moment. It's about who can stay in for the long haul. Makes sense? Just tips. Yeah? By the way, one thing I observed too. I think we need to let children be children for a little while. What do you think? They ought to have some space in their Palm Pilot that says, "These are my hours to just be a kid, to dream, to pull on trees, to wonder, to imagine, to understand, to just be a kid." I'm not sure we're taking away just being a kid and making adults too fast. What do you think? I love it. Every once in a while when I just see kids be kids, it's okay. They don't have to have every minute of their day scheduled in some activity of achievement. Part of achieving is learning how to be a kid. I'll be an old man when this happens, but I just really dread seeing this generation go midlife. They'll probably ride tricycles because they never got to when they were 3. They'll try to go back and get what they never had. That's what happens in midlife. You try to go back and get what you never had as a kid. So, by the way, if you're an adolescent, a parent of an adolescent, can I just give you a heads up? Let your kids be adolescents now. What do you think? Even the Bible knows they're going to be crazy. The Proverbs said, "The folly of what? Youth." That's called adolescence. Let them be it now, because I'm going to tell you, it's better at 17 to 23 than it is at 41 to 45. Let them have it now. They're going to rear up a little bit. Amen? How many of y'all know they're going to rear up? How many of y'all realize that's God intended? Now, it's a simple solution. When they rear up, you've got to rear up a little higher. Now, you ought to be experienced at it because you've reared up before. So you ought to be able to achieve a little more. Amen? It works. Well, let's stand together and let's live life together and let's educate our children together. Amen? Let's pray. Today, if you've never put Jesus Christ in the center of that spoke of remembering and understanding and achieving, Jesus Christ got to be in the center of that. Here's the way you get Jesus in your life. You say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. I know I sinned. I want you to be the center of my life. And right now, Jesus, I ask you to come into my life and forgive me of my sins. I'm going to ask you to come and pray today for our schools. I hope this whole thing clears at an altar today. But you've got to decide what you want to do. Our schools, our principals, our children, that they would get better. Better than they've ever been. And so come at this altar and let it happen. Amen. If you're sitting near a teacher, just tell them, hey, thanks. Thanks. How long do we go to school now? Dale, how many days do we go to school? 175. You need to pray for the next 175 days that these teachers and people are going to be dealing with your children, our children, that they remember and they understand and they achieve beyond where we are today. Yeah? Well, the altar's open. You come and let's pray and let's pray over people and let's just end this moment praying and then we'll head to Bible study. Come on.